بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي القدر العظيم، وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. In today's lesson, which is lesson 28 of our lessons on Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith, we're going to be covering two hadiths on firstly what the reality of righteousness and virtue is, and then secondly how one responds in trying times. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave certain keys to that. So there are two very central hadiths. Last class, we looked at hadiths 25 and 26 that mention the many ways of good. I'm bad with numbers. Hadiths 25 and 26, right? I get my numbers wrong most of the time. Hadith 25 and 26, which both talk about the many ways of good, the many opportunities of good. So in hadith number 25, we saw the question of the companions regarding the ways of good. And what was the question that was raised? That O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. The people of wealth have taken with them all the reward. And what was their concern? What was their concern? That the wealthy, what distinct reward were they earning? What's the distinct reward that the wealthy were earning? That those who weren't wealthy, like the Ahl al-Suffa, for example, weren't able to attain? The reward of charity. But they said they've taken away all reward. ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. Why would they say that? Why would they say that? Did they had other good deeds that they were doing? But why did they see that as if it were complete loss? That they've taken away all reward. One of the reasons is that it tells us about the great reward of charity, the tremendous reward of charity. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. Allah grants increase, right, to whomever He wills. And that charity increases and it purifies, and all the various virtues of charity. So if you missed out on that, it's as if you've missed out on everything. Right? Why else would they feel this complete loss? Because they want to be of the sabiqoon, right? They want to be of the foremost. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. I'd race with one another, outdo one another in good. In Surah Al-Asr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And who do the good deeds. And it's not just who do some good deeds, but if you consider وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, who do the good deeds. And that in its fullest potential, الصالحات, would entail what the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma inni asaluka min al-khayri kullih. Oh Allah, I ask you for the good, all of it. So this is something of the good that they couldn't outdo the wealthy with. They couldn't share in that good. So they felt that they've lost out. What the Prophet ﷺ responded by showing the vastness of charity. That what is charity in reality? That what is charity itself? Is it just giving the good? Like, is it just giving wealth? Is charity simply giving wealth? Yeah. So charity is not simply giving money. Charity is everything you give seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that you expend, as it were, including your time, your effort, your... So every good directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts as charity, because it's a giving. And the Prophet ﷺ defined the ways of good. Even the fulfillment of one's desires counts as charity when it is done seeking the pleasure of Allah thereby. Firstly, by staying within limits. Number two, by doing it in a praiseworthy manner, right, in accordance with prophetic guidance. Number three, to bring in excellence into it, fulfilling the rights of another. There's many, many dimensions to it. So this shows, and the hadith detailed the many, many ways of good. Right? One's tasbih and dhikr is sadaqah, and commanding the good, forbidding the wrong, etc. And we had expanded on the lessons from that. Hadith number 26, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that every part of your body owes charity. كُلُّ سُلَامَ مِنَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ صَدَقَةً. Every part of your body owes charity. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ. Every day that the sun rises. And every day that the sun rises, every limb of your body owes charity. Why would every limb owe charity every day and night? Because Allah is ever sustaining it. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever sustaining it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever sustaining the human and every part of them. So every limb. And sulama, what does it refer to? Sulama, in the most specific sense, refers to the each part, each bone in the finger, the sulama. But it refers more broadly to every joint in your body. Every joint and limb of your body owes charity, meaning every single part of the human being owes charity. And what is that charity? This confirms the meaning of the previous hadith, right? What's the charity of each limb? Yeah. So fulfilling Allah's command in it, with respect to it. Like that's the obligatory element. There may be obligations due to that limb. Or staying away from the prohibited. Right? Directing it towards the good. But it also tells us that doing the good, right, is not just sort of extra. Yeah. Doing the good is not just extra, it's a fulfillment of what thankfulness entails. That the nafil, the good that one does, it's not just an extra thing that one takes on. but it is what is entailed by thankfulness, right? The Prophet saying, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, that if you were to recognize Allah's blessings, it entails expressing that gratitude. And that expression of gratitude is what? Counts as sadaqah. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the various ways in hadith number 25. Every act of good that one does, particularly towards another. Right here, each of the things mentioned in this hadith, in the beginning, has to do with others. Mending relations between two people, assisting someone, getting on their mount, or helping them with their belongings, helping them load their belongings. Walking to the mosque, right, is an expression of gratitude. Removing harm, right, each of these. And these are, of course, used as an example. They're not for hasr. And that's an important aspect as well. You know, the Prophet ﷺ lays down principles and he gives examples. But it's understood from that. It's a point of distinction between mainstream understanding and some of the literalist understandings. It's understood very clearly from hadiths like the two that we saw last class, that the Prophet ﷺ is not trying to enumerate every good. He's defining what is the good. He's giving us an understanding. What is the good? Everything that one directs seeking Allah's pleasure is of the good. And then he gives examples. But it's understood clearly that that's not the only way. That he mentions these five examples. So let's say someone were to make another a cup of tea. Would that not count as good? Or if Omar were to refill my cup of water, right, or it's not even a cup actually, it's a couplet, right? Would that not be an act of good? It's understood. And that's one of the aspects of interpretation. Some of the literalists denied what's called dilalatun nas, the indication of a text. But we affirm both what's literally stated and what's understood and clearly indicated. So the Prophet ﷺ here uses a classic example. He gives a general principle. Every limb owes a charity. He gives some examples to clarify. But by the text itself, it is called dilalatun nas, the indication. That's not an act of ijtihad, of textual interpretation. Anyone, if you heard this hadith and you ask Sister Halima, given this hadith, would making tea for someone be charity? She says, no, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say it. Right? Anyone who hears it, that's called the indication of the text. Something that's clearly understood from the text, but that was not stated in it. That's what the text is dealing with. And then there's more indications, right? Which is called the isharatun nas, what the text is alluding to, right? Like for example, here the text is about doing good, right? But an ishara of the text, an indication of the text would be, for example, maintaining cleanliness, being a social, you know, maintaining the public places clean, being a social responsibility. This is not what the text was talking about. Right? So it's not indicated by the text by way of indication, but it's called isharatun nas. It's a meaning that is understood from the text, but the text wasn't about that. Because the text is about doing good. But it's understood from the Prophet ﷺ saying, and removing harm from the path is charity. It's understood that we have a collective responsibility to maintain public places clean. And that would be an example of isharatun nas, an indication of the text. And if I told that to Sidi Ahmar, he wouldn't say, no, the hadith has nothing to do with that. Right? This is something that's alluded to by the text, but the text wasn't about that. So there's layers of meaning in a text, but there's principles by which there's sound understanding. Right? So that's what we looked at in the last class with some extra points to clarify for us. And today we're looking at these two hadiths, the first of which is on what is righteousness. And there's a number of secondary and rather marvelous lessons there as well. And hadith number 28, which is this counsel of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he told us how to deal with trying times. And that is, you know, a very important lesson. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam anticipated. You know, the Sahaba are in a good situation. They're with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're in, you know, in a state of serenity and, you know, calm. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that there's going to be fitna coming up. And this is how you deal with the fitna and respond to it. So, any questions regarding the past lesson before we continue? Go ahead. So how would you know that a meaning that you understand from the text is sound? Like, for example, from that hadith saying, well, from this, brothers and sisters, please keep the toilets clean, right? And you wouldn't believe how many times I've been stuck in keeping the masjid clean discussions. We actually had a seminar on the early life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the Prophet before prophethood. And there's a Q&A session, and it broke down into an argument between the masjid's board and the president of the masjid and active members of the congregation on how the masjid should be kept clean. And they're asking me to intercede. I don't go to your mosque. But so what do you do there? How do you keep the masjid clean? That's a separate point. But the best thing in those kinds of matters is to confirm. Right? That part of the way that one trains, one gains training in sound understanding is every time, you know, that one should be thinking about these meanings as a student of knowledge. But when one comes to, one thinks one has understood something, confirm it, right? Or ask, okay, would this be an example of that? Try to get more clarity, get more clarity, get more clarity. And eventually, one's judgment will become, hopefully, if one has any aptitude, sounder. Okay? And although you'll find that usually things are mentioned, you know, it's best to choose texts that are most direct. So there's many texts that are more direct on keeping the masjid clean, for example. Alhamdulillah. Any other questions before we continue? Okay, we'll go with.
So mentions Tabshi Haida Salat. So is it just walking to someone in the middle, or is it particularly like a masjid?
So walking, so every step one takes to the masjid, right? So there, this statement, every step one walks to the masjid, right? The indication of the text, right? Firstly, the point of the text is the means you take to get there, right? So if you take other means, if it's far and you drive there, you won't get the reward? No. It's like, you know, that is included, of course. Right? By the indication of the text, you know, every effort that, you know, anywhere you direct yourself towards good, like whether it's a gathering of knowledge or remembrance, or you're going to serve someone, or for family ties or visiting a friend, all that falls under that by some, you know, here by by the indication of the text, right? Because the underlying meaning is every effort expended towards that which is pleasing to Allah or that which draws one closer to Allah, right? So it would include, you know, these other things by the indication of the text. No, so if you, the ones walking anywhere, when walking to a congregation, has reward. Right? even if it's not at the, you're at work, for example. So you take the effort to go to the fifth floor. There's a conference room there where you pray, and and sometimes you find a congregation, sometimes you don't. Yeah, that's because that's effort exerted towards going to prayer, or towards good. So one's rewarded for it, and once you do it with clear intent.